Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. But lo and behold, what a great way to start the new year when we can bring out of the secret office that she works in, Jennifer Graham, who's the CEO of Hospice and Community Care. I have not seen you in, what, 2 years on the show?
Maybe.
Longer, maybe longer?
Maybe, yeah.
You do everything you can to avoid this, right?
I'm very busy.
she sounds like a politician, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Ashley Lang is over here as well, shadowing the program today. So, Jennifer, needless to say, since your last appearance, there have been a few people who have moved into this community. They don't know you, and so you're going to take a minute here to tell everybody a little bit about you.
Okay.
So go right ahead.
So I've lived in this community for 25 years. It's my adopted community. my children have been raised here, and I absolutely love what I do and how I can impact the community.
Good for you. So another thing that not enough people know about is hospice and community care. So I want you to take me back, because I know you're celebrating 40 years, and all I can remember is the nice, beautiful, plush but not overly ostentatious facility next to the Catawba Animal Clinic. But before that, there was a life of hospice and community care that I'm not familiar with. So tell me about it.
I would love to. So hospice and community care was really built out of one woman's story that impacted this entire community. She was ill. She wanted to come back to this community to live the rest of her life. And a group of people, including her physician, pastor, a social worker, and then just friends and family that loved her, said, you know what, we could probably make this happen for not only you, but for everybody else in this community. This was in the early 80s, where hospice care was new. And so we had this core group of people who decided, we will raise money, we will raise awareness, and we are going to make this happen for our little community. I think Rock Hill has always been that community who wanted all the benefits of Charlotte, but not all the problems.
Mm.
And we wanted to bring hospice care into our community and serve the people who live here well.
Isn't that interesting? Because Rock Hill certainly has a storied history about taking on challenges,
yes,
and solving them. And this is another one. That's
it
great.
Is. It is.
Okay, so the current facility came into being, what, year 30, year 25?
We opened the current campus 17 years ago in January of 2008.
And it's named the Wayne Patrick Hospice and Community Care, is that
so
right?
So our campus is comprised of two main buildings. One is our community building, which serves the community in a variety of ways. It's our administrative offices. We also operate our free medical lending closet out of it, which is called the Caring Closet. And we have community space where different groups will come and use our community room or some of the other smaller areas for workshops, gatherings, celebrations. And then the central part of that campus is the Wayne T. Patrick Hospice House, which is a 16-bed inpatient hospice unit. About half of our patients that we serve spend some time in the Wayne T. Patrick Hospice House during their care with us. And then the other half are being cared for at home in York, Chester, and Lancaster counties.
Interesting. And for those of you who did not know Wayne Patrick, he was quite a guy. He was the owner, the publisher of the former Herald newspaper. He was quite a character. I could tell you lots of stories about him, but he's a great guy.
He was a great guy. I've heard many, many stories, but I think the central thing that I've heard about him is that he had a deep love for this community.
Yeah, true.
And he worked so hard to make sure that this community had what they needed to care for each other. And that legacy is carried on now at the Wayne T. Patrick Hospice House.
So when he became sick and he passed on, his family decided to do something really nice in his honor and basically gave you the, I guess you'd call it the challenge gift or something, to get this Wayne T. Patrick Hospice House built.
His family and friends contributed to the success of this campus. It's why it's there. Kathy, his daughter, has served on our board for a number of years, and when she left the board, she still remained one of our biggest supporters, our most vocal advocate for hospice care in this community.
And anybody knows Kathy Wilson, she has got that Patrick blood in her, that's for sure. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay, so you serve roughly how many people a year?
About 700 last year in 2024.
And you say that's pretty equally split between
about
on
half
campus?
Of those were served in the hospice house, the Wayne T. Patrick Hospice House. The other half were served at home. And that is just the small impact of the core of what we do as hospice, but we touch so many other lives with some of the other services that we provide.
Okay, go ahead. Okay. What are the other services?
So we have a free medical lending closet. It's called the Caring Closet, and it lends out DME to anybody in this community, regardless of their ability to pay. And that served last year, hundreds of thousands of people, thousands of people, about 3,300 people.
DME?
DME, durable medical equipment, wheelchairs, walkers, crutches.
Okay.
And then we also have some medical supplies. All of it's donated, and so it's kind of a paying it forward. If you have knee surgery and you need the little knee scooter, you only need it for a little bit, and then what do you do with it? You don't want it in your house, and so you can bring it to the Caring Closet, donate it, and then the next person that needs it is able to benefit from that. And it was really born out of this need that we saw our hospice patients that had all of this medical equipment in their homes, and when they passed away, the families didn't know what to do with it.
Mm.
You don't really want to give it to Goodwill. You want to give it to people who can use it.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about the walker that I had when I got my new knee put together.
And so where is it?
It's just in an attic. It's coming your way.
I think we see a lot of people like that. And so it's really cool to see. We've got almost 100 people each week that will come by and get equipment.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
My God.
Yeah.
Wish I'd known about that. Well,
yeah.
That's interesting. All right, so the other services besides DME?
So we run two resale shops, one in Lancaster and one in Rock Hill, and we did over 72,000 transactions last year at
Good
those
Lord.
Resale shops. They produce over $800,000 worth of sales for us each year, and that helps fund our charity care for uninsured and underinsured patients in York, Chester, and Lancaster counties.
So if you take a look at that block of uninsured or the inability to pay, that represents of the roughly, what did you tell me, 700 that you served? What is that, 100, 150?
It depends,
right.
But we did see last year a 270% increase in the amount of money that we spent on charity care. We have about a 20% increase in younger patients, and what we would consider younger patients are typically the ones under the age of 65. And so we're seeing younger patients, sicker patients, and patients who are underinsured or uninsured in this county.
You know, the underinsured does not surprise me at all with the cost of health insurance. I mean, everybody knows this. It's no secret. But the younger thing, I mean, what's going on there?
I don't know. I do not know.
I'm not in the younger category anymore, so I'm okay.
I'm not really sure why. One of the reasons that I think, because we have the Wayne T. Patrick Hospice House, we can take care of people that have a lot of complicated pain and symptom management, and we get a lot of our referrals from the hospitals. And so we have really sick patients coming to us because they're coming straight into the hospice house, or they're going home, but they have very complex medical needs. And so our organization, because we are a nonprofit, can take those patients on regardless of their ability to pay and care for them. And our staff is highly qualified with complicated medical cases.
So when you talk about staff, how many of you are there?
Right now there's 86.
86? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Are these full and part-time? Is that what you're talking about?
They are full and part-time, and you know, we run 24 hours a day, and so we have staff that works the typical 5 days a week, but then our hospice house runs shifts 7 days a week. There's two shifts every day, and then we have on-call nurses, so there is always a nurse available to our patients and families 24 hours a day.
Whew. And I can tell you from personal experience, anybody who's been through hospice, that really is a special kind of care that you're getting. It's just amazing how well they, not only with the medical part, but the human part of it, how well they bond with the family, that let them know what's going on, da-da-da-da-da.
I think the real heroes of that are the caregivers of the patients. Mm. We step in, and our goal is to educate patients and families right. about disease process and what that might look like. But those caregivers are the ones who are there 24 hours a day, providing that care, walking with their loved one through their disease. And they're the heroes of this whole story.
Very interesting. So hospice is more than just end-of-life care. Is that true?
It is. It is. Hospice care is for anybody that has a serious illness that has decided that they want to have their pain and symptoms managed and that they're no longer going to seek curative treatment. But their disease process typically is 6 months or less life expectancy. Some people live longer than that.
Yeah.
We also offer palliative care, which is for patients that aren't quite ready for hospice care. They still want to pursue curative treatments, but they need somebody to come in and kind of be that coordinator of all the care for pain and symptom management. So we have a team of medical professionals that step in and help provide that support to patients who are navigating serious illness.
Give me an example of that, can you?
COPD.
Okay.
So somebody who has COPD may have multiple doctors that aren't talking to each other. They may have a lot of pain and symptom management that needs to be coordinated. And so our practitioners will step in and help coordinate that care between all the different parties.
That's like herding cats.
It is herding cats. But if you have ever tried to call your primary physician.
Doesn't happen anymore.
It may not happen. Whereas our providers, you may be able to get on the phone right away.
Oh, yeah. Docs like to talk to docs. I got it.
They do.
I understand all that.
They do.
So what's your biggest challenge right now? I mean, I would think with this growing population that we've got, roughly 300,000 people now here in New York County, mm-hmm. that even though you have all these beds, are you finding times when you don't have enough beds?
We are not finding times where we don't have enough beds. I think our biggest challenge is making sure that people who need access to this care know about it, that they know about the Wayne T. Patrick Hospice House. The Patrick Hospice House is the only hospice house serving this community. And often when people are selecting a hospice provider, they don't understand what extra they're going to get with us, such as access to the hospice house.
Okay, explain this more fully, because there are other hospice operations out there.
There are.
But there's a lot of difference between you as a nonprofit and them as a for-profit.
I think anytime that you have a nonprofit in this community, there is a heart for making sure that people in this community have access to the services that they need and deserve. And so just like Affinity, just like the Free Medical Clinic, just like Pathways, we are run by people who live and work in this community, who have a heart for the people of this community, and we're going to make sure that they have access to what they need. Our bottom line certainly is important because we like to pay the bills, but that is not what we wake up each morning ready to do. Each morning we're waking up to make sure that we're providing the care to the people who need it most.
Now, speaking of dollars and cents, you are a business, and
we
so you got to pay the bills, as you point out.
Mm-hmm.
You receive, you obviously charge on some type of a sliding scale for, no?
No,
nothing. No charges at all?
We will charge room and board at the hospice house for certain patients. And so we have three different levels of care that we provide at the hospice house. One of those is a residential level of care that if people choose to live there, they would pay room and board. Everything else is reimbursed by Medicare, Medicaid, private insurance.
Okay.
Or if you don't have insurance,
right.
We have the funding from the generous people in the community who've been giving to us for 40 years.
Well, that's what I want to get to. Donor support is a big deal.
It's huge for us.
Huge. What is your overall budget for this whole operation? Round numbers.
Gosh. We had about $7 million in revenue last year, and that doesn't include what our donations included. And so that $7 million, you would think, wow, that would go a long way.
Not with 86 nurses.
But everybody knows the cost of providing care is more expensive. When you have complex medical needs, those patients are more expensive. Supplies are more expensive. We had a 50% increase in just the insurance we pay on our building, the insurance we pay for our employees. Mm. And so we are constantly trying to keep up with the rising cost of medical supplies, of drugs, of electricity, of oxygen, any of the things that the average person is feeling that increase in expenses. We're feeling that from a business side too.
I'm sure.
And so we are asked constantly to do more with less from a reimbursement standpoint, and that's where the community really steps in. And we also believe that every person deserves access to high quality compassionate care at the end of life, regardless of their ability to pay.
Good for you. That's quite a challenge. I mean, I'm sure you're saying, why are we doing it this way? Because it doesn't work. But you got the donors to back you up, which is tremendous. And they've been a long list of donors who have been giving to you regularly over all these years.
There have been. We would not exist today without the support of the community. Not only the financial support, but the advocacy of them telling their story about their experience with us is incredibly important. And then the people that support us in other ways, those 72,000 transactions at the resale shop. If you've ever been into the resale shop, it is busy all of the time. And so those donations that are brought to us that then we turn around and sell to the community are incredibly important to us.
So where are the two resale stores? Where are they?
The Lancaster one is on the bypass in Lancaster, next to KJ Foods. And then in Rock Hill, it's on Cherry Road next to Planet Fitness.
Next to Planet Fitness?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to have to take our mid-program break and remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, relax here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. So we have this magical thing we do here at Substation 2. We have a new shirt because we've lost our cue card. I don't know where it went to, but we dug this one out. In the white letters is what we do here 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. Old guys like this over here know exactly what we're about to do. At the count of three, let's let them know. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Hey, Alex, have you tried that new pastrami on rye at Substation 2?
You're darn right I have, and you should too. It's freshly sliced, lean, delicious, served hot, and piled high. And I understand you better hurry because it's a limited time offer.
Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
We hope you'll choose The Nest to deliver your newest bundle of joy. The Nest is a new labor and delivery recovery postpartum unit at Piedmont Medical Center Fort Mill, working to make your pregnancy and childbirth experience as easy and enjoyable as possible. Our physicians and nursing staff at Piedmont are dedicated to giving expectant mothers the maternity care they want and need. Learn more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
We know the type. You like to start early, finish late, make lemon squares, and make payments to the college fund from anywhere in the house. We know you rely on Comporium for the things you rely on most, like a view of the backyard. That's just a bunny, and hundreds of channels to watch, whenever you want. So you may think of us as just your internet company, but we're more like the I didn't know they could do all that company. Comporium, always ready.
It's soup weather, and Substation 2 is ready. Nothing says fall like a cup of hot, delicious soup, and we serve a rotating selection of flavors. Just call to find out what's on the menu, because we never know what we're going to feel like making that day. Soup and sandwich, what a great combo. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Jennifer Graham is with us. She is the CEO of Hospice and Community Care, a job you've had for how long now?
Well, I've been CEO for almost 4 years, and I've worked at the organization for 23.
Yeah, I knew you were there in a long time. Good for you. So we are in the 40th year of this thing?
It's hard to believe.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I mean, I'm only 43. I mean, what the heck? That brought a laugh, didn't it? Nice try. So what are we doing to mark this occasion?
We are having celebrations throughout the year. We want to make sure that all of our celebrations are accessible to the people who have contributed to our success.
Okay.
So we're starting with our staff, because that is the core of how we deliver our services. So we're going to celebrate with them. We're going to celebrate with donors. We have so many community members who support us in so many different ways. So we're going to make sure that we celebrate those 200 volunteers that show up every week to make sure that our resale shops run, that there's somebody to answer the phone, that there's somebody to greet you at the hospice house, that there's somebody to sit beside patients as they go through this hospice experience. We're going to celebrate our veterans. About 10% of the patients that we serve are veterans, and
have a beautiful park out front.
Thank you.
Really is nice.
We had 21 veteran events last year and plan to do just as many in this year forward. We're going to celebrate all the people who have received our services. And so we have a couple of memorial events that we're doing with butterfly releases, and it's a chance for families who've received our services and the patients have passed away to set aside a special time of memory for those patients. And then we're going to have a big homecoming this fall for people who have received our services, who have supported us, who've worked with us over the years. So we're really excited about the different ways that we're going to celebrate 40 years this year.
But as you point out, there's not enough people who know what you do, despite the fact that you're doing an awful lot of it. I mean,
yeah.
700 patients.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people. And you got 200 volunteers and 86 nurses, and still not enough people know what's going on.
I think it's a growing community.
You think?
So you have to continue.
I know, that's why she's a CEO.
So I've heard. But I think also hospice is a scary word. We don't want to talk about life and death often. And so those conversations often are not had until you need us.
And, you know, that's unfortunate, because as somebody told me one day, to not accept the fact that death is a reality is not to accept that birth is a reality. I mean, it's a cycle.
None of us are getting out of here alive.
I don't know. Ron over here might get
Maybe.
Out of here.
You know? But I think what it is about is you get to help craft what that looks like for you, what that looks like for your family member. And why wouldn't you want this amazing, supportive, knowledgeable team around you to help you craft that pathway?
You know, I chuckle because I remember my dad, who was always a very organized guy. He was an attorney, right? Mm-hmm. He, long before he got sick and passed on, you know, he had all his wills and all that stuff together. But he actually crafted the service that he was going to have. And he and the minister went back and forth over what readings were going to be and what was going to be said. And after about the fourth or fifth draft, he said, approved, I'm ready to go. And that's what he put on it. And that sat in place, you know. He had gone through the prepaying for the funeral services and all. He didn't want the family to mess with a thing while they were having to go through all this grief.
Yeah.
And it was so nice that he did that. Because for somebody who all of a sudden this is dropped in your lap, my God, my loved one has died and I have no funeral director. I don't have any arrangements for this and that. It's a mess. It is absolutely a mess.
Medicare designed the hospice benefit to be something that people can access 6 months before their disease progression would typically result in death. the best benefit you can get out of hospice is to get your full 6 months. You've paid it with Medicare. But you get to have moments like that. Not everybody gets that gift. Not everybody gets the gift of knowing if my disease progresses, I may not be here next year. But the people who do, who can plan, who can say goodbye, who can spend that time with their family, what a gift.
Yeah, I say.
And if we can walk alongside you and help you with that kind of planning, that's outstanding.
So exactly how does that piece work? Somebody would come to you that knows that they have a terminal illness?
Sure.
And I know I've got so many months to live, and I don't know what the heck to do to get ready for that.
Absolutely. So a lot of people access our services through their physician. Their physician has a conversation with them and says, I think this may be time. I think this would be a really good support for you. Other times it's a family member calling and saying, I've just got this diagnosis. Can you help me walk through? We have a team of social workers that are on our staff, and that is their job, to help you navigate all of these different pathways. And so we have social workers, we have spiritual care providers, we have aides that will come out and help with some of the activities of daily living. Of course, our amazing team of nurses, which help with so much education, so much support for families, and volunteers as well.
You got a heck of a story. This is something. So do you go off to, I don't know, periodically to conferences somewhere with your peers, and you get a lot of these new ideas as to what we can do to improve what we're doing?
I think that technology connects us in some amazing ways. So it used to be you had to go to the conference, the annual conference, and go get all the information. Now there's webinars weekly that you can attend. There's calls that you can get on to hear what's going on. I went to Columbia this past week and met with another hospice CEO to just say, what are y'all doing about this? Because South Carolina is very unique. We have a lot of rural areas. Medicaid in South Carolina is different than Medicaid in Georgia or North Carolina. And so collaboration is key to us making sure that we're accessing all the benefits for this community that we live and work in.
So I guess the best thing to do is, if we have tickled somebody's interest, they just need to what? Go online to your website?
They can go to our website.
Figure out how to get this started?
HospiceCommunityCare.org is our website. They can call us at 803-329-1500. And just say, hey, I have some questions. And we would love to talk to people.
And I guess the thing that they need to remember is you're doing your family a favor by initiating this process before it becomes a real problem, rather than waiting for it to become such a big problem that there's no time to deal with any of this.
Yes. Yeah. And I think another big need is we've cared for tens of thousands of people over 40 years. We need those families to come back and tell their story, and we desperately need volunteers. And you can volunteer in a lot of different ways. It doesn't have to be direct patient-to-volunteer. It can be volunteering in our resale shops. It can be answering the phone. It can be filing. It can be in the caring closet. There's hundreds of ways that you can give back. And if you've been a recipient of our services and it impacted you, we would love for you to be able to do that.
It's amazing. Well, you've got a small army of volunteers already.
We did.
200.
We
did. But you could use another 100.
At least.
Remember, we're growing.
We are.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's great. Well, Jennifer, great story. Congratulations on 40 years. I'm sure we'll be hearing more about this.
Thank you.
Particularly when all the parties come about. Ashley's here. She likes to go to parties. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program. Live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Okay, we're here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. If you're not here, something is wrong with you. That's all. You don't have a good appetite. Fresh subs and salads, and we do them 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. Buster has arrived along with the old fan over here. The guy, he just likes to run and get autographs from that. So how do we do what we do at the count of three? 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. Well done. See you on the radio again tomorrow. Bye.